Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all today. Always happy to be here with you all. And it's always a blast to be here. And other such things that mean the same thing. But the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue. I really need to come up with a better introduction. Yeah, I've got the Al Nathan Show, usually it's a tight introduction, but the Silk or Joe Show, it just seems so brief, right? Like, hi, we're here. Okay, let's get right into it. But anyway, so if you want to thank anyone for this program existing for 13 years with no solid introduction, go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, and you can find out more about the Silk or Joe Show there. And, you know, part of the reason, too, that I feel the need for a longer introduction before getting into everything is just because I've heard some radio stations out there, at least with the Al Nathan Show, they cut off, like, the first couple of seconds of each segment for whatever reason. Anyway, though, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, where you can kind of find podcasts for the Silk or Joe Show, where if your version ends up cut off, you can listen to the whole darn thing right there, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And there's also an Android app for users. And we are on social media, too, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio. I want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Alrighty. And there's some stuff that's been bugging me all week. You know, I don't issue topics like I do for the Al Nathan Show, which, of course, you've heard me hosting this week. But, boy, there's some weird stuff going on. Not weird stuff. There's some blood-boiling stuff going on. We got the Patriot Front Group coming back, making a comeback. Maybe this will end up being a headline potluck segment, depending on how much of this stuff I get into. So, the Patriot Front Group, y'all might remember them. I've been somewhat questioning their origins, exactly. Is it some federal group or whatever? Who's actually behind it? How many of these people are actually the Patriot Front Group? How many of those people are actually civilians? How many of those are feds? Because, I mean, you look at them, they all look like they have identical builds, and they're all uniform in appearance. Now, what other group does that? I mean, even if you go to a KKK rally, you'll see all sorts of different body types, all sorts of different outfits, unless they all got the robes on. But the Patriot Front Group is a bit different, and they all look the same. They all have the same build. It's like, you know, if you put any of them that I've seen anyway, if you put any of them in an FBI lineup and say which one of these is an FBI agent, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But the only reason why now that I'm not so sure it's a federal psyop is just because, well, Trump administration is in office. You'd think that Kash Patel would have cleaned house of such matters, but perhaps not, or perhaps they're hoping that this will just go under the radar because there were only 30 of them just kind of walking around over the weekend in one area, just enough for the news to come up with a story about it. And it's down here in Virginia that this happened. Now, Virginia has a law about wearing masks to conceal your identity, and these guys were breaking that law. Yet, curiously, not one person was arrested for it. The point of if I wore a mask specifically to conceal my identity while I'm wandering around this area, I would have been arrested, especially the area this was going on in, where there had been multiple shootings recently. So you'd arrest the average citizen there who's concealing his identity because, hell, it's very suspicious. They might be engaged in nefarious activities, but you're not going to arrest the Patriot Front Group for concealing their identities, only if you were told not to. Or maybe the local police just think that the facial covering law is BS and don't enforce it, which I doubt. But this is a kind of a purplish area, so yeah, it depends. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of weird that they're showing up, especially right now. And local news is reporting it, of course, as a terrible sign of white supremacy. Talking to NAACP leaders, all the usual stuff to try and gin up a new George Floyd moment. It ain't happening, though, especially with these feds. Or are they not actually feds? Like I said, with Kash Patel in charge of the FBI, yes, there are some groups that could still be operating under the radar. However, this could also just be the local state group that's suddenly being called into action in absence of federal servants. The Attorney General for the state, for example, is very well known for his statements demanding some kind of action to precipitate the need for his legislation. And case in point that he was caught advocating for is more mass shootings so that people will want gun control, to the point where he actually said he's willing to remove police officers from schools and he wants to see more Republican politicians' children killed. So if you're willing to kill kids, if you want to see politicians removed from schools so that all kids are in danger from a mass shooting just to get legislation passed, then perhaps you would have no problem whatsoever with creating a false flag for racism if you feel that the numbers just hadn't been up there and you need to create a little racism to get things going. I mean, someone has to pick up the slack now that the Southern Poverty Law Center isn't funding racism. And again, there were only like 30 of these people wandering around. It wasn't their usual tour bus show that we've seen in the past. So it's really questionable what's going on with that. Maybe the National Democrats, the DNC, was funding it to try and distract from what they were doing on Memorial Day over in Newark, New Jersey, that I talked about on the Al Nathan show earlier this week, where they're out there on Memorial Day protesting and rioting in front of a ICE detention facility. And these Democrats, not just protesters, but an actual sitting senator, they're out there trying to riot for the people that they care the most about, illegal immigrants, as admitted by Senator Chris Murphy. It wasn't him, though, that was at this facility. It was some other Democrat senator. But yeah, instead of spending your Memorial Day, you know, with families of veterans, they're with the people they actually care about. Rapists, murderers, fraudsters, all sorts of nasty folks that they were there supporting and showing solidarity with. But are we surprised they are willing to die for these people? They consider it virtuous to die for a rapist, murderer, or fraudster. So why wouldn't they spend Memorial Day shirking the American men and women who've gave their lives for this country and instead go straight to the illegal immigrants? That's their demographic. I mean, gee whiz, back when, a year ago with that Kilmer Abrego-Garcia stuff, senator from Maryland, I think it was Chris Van Hollen. I want to say him, but I didn't prepare for this. I didn't write his name down because I didn't realize I'd be going off into this tangent. But yeah, he's out there. I want to say it's Chris Van Hollen, but some reason that's echoing as being Maryland senator or the Delaware senator that was Joe Biden's co-senator from Maryland or from Delaware. But no, I think Van Hollen was Maryland. Why am I asking you all? Why am I doing this? I have a computer right here. We are not cavemen. We have technology, and I am really getting hung up on a detail to articulate my point here. So, yeah, Chris Van Hollen's from Maryland. I don't know who I'm thinking of then. When Kilmer Abrego-Garcia was the hitman, the Maryland man, the Maryland father, that's how the media characterized him. He's a human trafficker, alleged, from Maryland, who is originally from El Salvador, migrated here illegally, trafficked some people, and has ties to MS-13, has a deportation order. But no, he's a Maryland man, a Maryland father, and Chris Van Hollen made a big show about going down to visit him in El Salvador when he was in prison there. Meanwhile, illegal aliens were killing people in Van Hollen's district, and he didn't say a word about it. Didn't visit their families. Didn't care about them at all. No, of course not. Why would he? They're not the people he cares about the most. I mean, let's just listen to Democrats in their own words. We got time for this, barely. No, we don't actually, because I got this minute and 20 second long clip, and we have like only a minute and 20 seconds left of the show, so I can't play it now. It's too late. But this wouldn't be the first time that Democrats shirked their duties toward the average citizen. Back in 2018, Senator Elizabeth Warren, future presidential candidate at that point, she was asked about an illegal alien that killed someone in Iowa. And she said, well, sorry to the family, but we got to focus on things more important than that, like immigration reform. That's what she said on CNN. And she was actually lasted longer in the Democrat primary than Kamala Harris, who became the vice president. So, you know, Warren had some popularity with her, at least compared to Harris. And so it's not like a, you know, it's not a mainstream view in the Democrat Party that Warren had that, okay, yeah, it's, we don't care that you got murdered. We don't care that a loved one got murdered by an illegal immigrant. What we care about is that illegal immigrant. What we care about is immigration reform so that more illegal immigrants can be allowed into the country, where it, we'll just call it legal, so that more people can be murdered, raped, abused, whatever. That's what Democrats stand for these days. And you're racist if you say otherwise. You're racist if you condemn it. And just as racist as that Patriot Front group that they're, that's a front for Democrat operations. Again, I just got to wonder how, you know, did they do a rent-a-crowd service, give me 30 buff white dudes and put them in shirts and masks and march them out just to make it look like racism still exists? We've seen this playbook before. Again, Southern Poverty Law Center. Anyway, folks, we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break, and I assure you, we're not being paid by the feds. I could use the money, though.
As Americans take to the road during the country's 250th anniversary, Hilton is joining the fun by offering 12 unexpected summer road trip experiences to Hilton Honors members, each with a Hampton by Hilton stay along the way. From cross-country adventures with a 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee and a year of free gas to quirky festivals like UFO sightings in Roswell and pickle celebrations in Pittsburgh, these Hilton Honors America experiences bring the American road trip to life. Hilton's Shruti Gandhi Buckley explains.
As we celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country, travelers are rediscovering the joy of the open road. For generations, Hampton by Hilton has been a trusted home base for road trips, offering comfort, convenience, and welcoming service that make every mile easier. These experiences capture the fun and spontaneity of piling in the car and hitting the road.
Hilton Honors America experiences will drop throughout the summer and are first come, first serve. Visit experiences.hiltonhonors.com for more information.
Building Safety Month, an awareness campaign by the International Code Council, highlights how codes implemented across the country and safety professionals keep us safe. This year's theme, Built to Last, starts with how you can get involved. ICC CEO John Belsick explains.
Building safety starts at home because that's where people spend most of their time. We often see that small issues like overloaded outlets, loose handrails, or blocked exits can turn into serious risks if they're not addressed.
Another focus this year, resilience, especially as natural disasters become more frequent.
Modern building codes are one of the most effective tools we have when it comes to disaster resilience. They're designed to reduce damage, protect the people inside, and help communities recover quicker from disasters like hurricanes and wildfires.
And accessibility is key.
Communities Without Limits means designing buildings and public spaces that are usable, intuitive, and welcoming for people of all ages and abilities.
To learn more, including how to reach out to local representatives to advocate for the latest codes, visit buildingsafetymonth.org.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country, but unfortunately, so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Road Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all this week, and appreciate you all tuning in. And we are joined for this segment by Michael Morris, director at the Media Research Center's Free Speech America. Michael Morris, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today? All right. I thought I heard you there. Michael Morris, do we have you?
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yep, glad to have you. So we're talking now about these AI chatbots there that people are talking with as if they are legitimate sources, as if AI doesn't just regurgitate in various forms the same stuff that you put into it. I mean, it's much like the Chinese government and the Chinese industry, really. All they do is regurgitate variations on innovations that they stole from other countries. But here we have, though, you know, a couple of years ago, back in 2023, this professor and advisor to the influential World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari, he's openly bragging that AI one day will create its own Bible, and because it's a fact-based, it's going to create a fact-based religion because that's all AI can do. But here we have AI absolutely lying to us, and I don't think AI could write a coherent book at this point anyway. And now they're lying to, and now AI chatbots are being used to lie about actual elections and election races. What's going on here?
Yeah, look, this is incredible. You know, I did a story actually back in January talking about Charlie Kirk, and ChatGPT actually denied that Charlie Kirk even existed repeatedly. Three times it denied it, then hallucinations. It made up information, apologized for hallucinating, and then cited leftist sources, Al Jazeera, Fortune, Wikipedia, and then it went on and hallucinated some more and apologized again and kept trying to have to correct itself. But you're right, it involves elections as well. Fox News' Brian Flood actually put out a piece, AI chatbots take heed over left-wing bias, no longer can be considered neutral. And what he was talking about, there's a controversial Democratic Maine Senate candidate called Graham Platner. He apparently made some graphic sexual comments in what is now his deleted Reddit account about some disturbing things dealing with toilets in the bathroom, explicit graffiti in military restrooms, and then also about how he, quote-unquote, was a communist now. He even said some horrific things about a fallen soldier, saying the dumb mother effer didn't deserve to live. Poor marksmanship on the Taliban's part is the only reason this mouth breather made it home. I mean, horrific stuff. And yet, what does AI do? Google Gemini, ChatGPT, Anthropic's Claude bury that sort of information in responses and prop up positive things in the responses before you even get to the negative.
And it's interesting, too, that Graham Platner would have those remarks, because I recall the media, and people still say it to this day, that Trump said that fallen members of the military were suckers and losers, and the only source from that was, like, this Atlantic article where they sourced a single anonymous individual in the administration. And yet that is such a scandal that you see signs about it on the lawns of people who are in the military that are Democrats. Yeah, here you have the whole Democrat Party backing Graham Platner, who actually is on record saying these things.
Yeah, it's truly disturbing. You know, just to dig into the details a little bit, Google's Gemini actually featured Platner and how he was featured on Time magazine first. They talked about how he has emerged as a quote-unquote presumptive Democratic nominee, unquote, with Governor Janet Mills exiting the race. Then it spotlighted a recent poll showing how Platner held a lead over Senator Susan Collins in the respective race. And then only after mentioning a fourth positive thing where he received high-profile endorsements did Gemini even give the negatives. And it said, quote-unquote, after these four positive developments, scrutiny regarding his personal background and past online footprint were dredged up by Republicans, but failed to acknowledge that Fox News Digital actually reported on this last week.
Mm. you know, just totally ignoring these things. And it seems so euphemistic, too. Something about his digital footprint was dredged up. Like, it didn't go into detail or anything about it. It just said, made it sound like, oh, he had a mean tweet from 2008, and that's being pulled up now, where he said he didn't like someone's dog, for all anyone knows that's reading it.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, of course, what source did it rely upon? Well, it cited CNN. And, you know, in this citation, the video declared Plattner's authenticity as drawing people to his campaign. You know, so that's the sort of bias that you'll get from AI chatbots like Gemini. ChatGPT was very similar. It waited until the fourth bullet to finally mention the thing that I referenced regarding Plattner's Reddit account. And what did it say first? It talked about how he's the presumptive nominee of the Democrats, and noted that polling showed him above Susan Collins. It emphasized the extreme cost of the Senate battleground, and then, you know, fourth bullet point in, finally, old Reddit posts are back at the center of the campaign. But it focused on how Republicans were using Plattner's old Reddit archive in an attack against him. You know, and then Claude, this is Anthropic. This is the Biden era holdovers that all flocked to Anthropic, and that chatbot is called Claude. Very similar thing going on with Claude. First, it showed information on Plattner's background, talking about his political rise. Then it talked about recent polling, and finally, it noted that the Democrat wrote on Reddit that he had become "quote unquote" a communist. So even Claude, Anthropic, is waiting to, you know, burying the lead about these horrific comments that Graham Plattner reportedly made on Reddit.
And you just know that if a Republican had such similar comments, that'd be the first thing that came up. Like, what was that? The one Republican congressman who the New York Times, they kind of twisted an interview that he did to make it sound like a white supremacist, because they only published one or two quotes, but not the whole thing. It was Steve something, not Scalise, but someone else from, I think, was also from Texas. And I know he'd been on the show before, too. But like, if that guy, if you asked the AI about him, that would be the first thing you saw.
Right. And look, here's what's crazy. You know, ChatGPT cited to Banger Daily News. I've never even heard of Banger Daily News. And then Claude, for its part, it did cite Fox News, but it cited a 2025 Fox News report. And then it also cited to Time Magazine, a leftist source. So time and time again, we're seeing that these AI chatbots are relying on predominantly leftist sources when they're providing information, and they're burying what would otherwise get elevated for Republicans, as you noted. And here at the Media Research Center, we've done a lot of looking into this. Back in August 14th of 2025, we actually put out a report where we warned the Trump administration that there are AI media contracts that are infusing leftist bias into artificial intelligence. And at the time, we looked across Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, and OpenAI, and we found that of the contracts that existed, 59% of contracts were between leftist outlets and the AI companies. Only 5%, and by the way, that's only one right-leaning conglomerate, that's News Corp. So 5% were from right-leaning. But 59% were from left-leaning.
And so all of our tax money going to these data centers, all the inconvenience they're causing, it's all to advanced left-wing AI. Terrific. But Michael Morris, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show to talk about this. Where can listeners get more information? We got like 10 seconds left.
Yeah, check us out at mrcfreespeechamerica.org. Again, that's mrcfreespeechamerica.org.
All right, listeners, something for you to look at during the break. But we got more Silk Road Joe Show on the other side.
Memorial Day is the first big cookout of the summer, and for many, that means firing up the grill and gathering with friends and family. With fresh ways to elevate your cookout menu, here's culinary instructor and cookbook author Brooke Parkhurst.
For me, it's not a summer cookout without Bush's Baked Beans. They're a classic staple that pair perfectly with all of your barbecue favorites, and their rich, slow-simmered flavor brings everyone to the table.
Bush's Baked Beans work alongside everything, from grilled meats to simple sides. And with flavors like original and brown sugar hickory, they offer a savory sweet twist to everyday meals.
My summer menu, I'm serving up dishes like Bush's barbecue chicken nachos. They're fun, shareable, and perfect for bringing everybody together. And for something a little bit heartier, Bush's baked beans with brisket. They're my go-to. It's smoky, satisfying, and guaranteed to keep everybody coming back for seconds.
For recipes and summer entertaining ideas, visit bushbeans.com.
As summer arrives and people head outside, doctors are preparing for what they call trauma season, a time when serious injuries and ER visits spike nationwide. May is National Stop the Bleed Month, a time when everyone should learn how to respond to a bleeding emergency. With more, here's Dr. David Scott Shapiro, chair of the American College of Surgeons Stop the Bleed Committee.
Uncontrolled bleeding is a leading cause of preventable death. Thousands of lives could be saved every year if bystanders learn to control that severe bleeding and are empowered to act immediately at the scene, even before EMS arrives.
The American College of Surgeons urges everyone to learn three simple steps: apply firm pressure, pack the wound, and use a tourniquet when needed.
A person with serious bleeding can bleed to death within minutes. These are practical skills anyone can learn and use in those first critical moments. The ACS Stop the Bleed course is made for everyone.
To find training and to get an ACS Stop the Bleed kit, visit stopthebleed.org/summer.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and did you know that feeding birds is good for your mental health? A 2024 study confirmed what millions of Americans are already discovering. Birding isn't just a hobby, it's a wellness habit. Just 30 minutes of bird watching has been shown to reduce stress more effectively than a standard walk outdoors. Wildlife advocate Adrian Chizis is the Director of Consumer and Bird Engagement at Global Harvest Foods.
That daily ritual of noticing, watching, and being present is one of the simplest and most accessible good day habits anyone can build this month. And it's remarkably easy. You could be a bird watcher by the end of the day. All you need is a feeder, a bag of quality seed, and a spot near a window where you can enjoy the view.
Quality seed like Cool Bird Specialty Blends or Audubon Park Snack Stacks make it easy and keep the birds coming back. Visit morecoolbirds.com or audubonpark.com for beginner-friendly tips, seed guidance, and ideas for attracting birds to your yard.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
So you are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe, and it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
So were they even more horrified watching an American citizen permanently separated from her family by an illegal alien? On CNN, Senator Elizabeth Warren provided a very clear answer, no.
I'm so sorry for the family here, and I know this is hard, not only for the family, but for the people in her community, the people throughout Iowa. But One of the things we have to remember is we need an immigration system that is effective, that focuses on where real problems are.
And then when you go to Sacramento, this is like the protected, oppressed group of the day. And so all their bills every day is like, how do we protect illegal immigrants? How do we get more lawyers for them? How do we get them more services? How do we get them free down payment assistance to buy a home?
It's the job of the California governor to protect every single Californian. The sanctuary state policy is designed to make sure that our state resources, the taxpayer dollars, the public servants that we have are focusing on doing their jobs, which is not cooperating with the federal immigration authorities. These are Californians. They contribute to our economy. They pay taxes. And they're one of the only ways that our state has been growing.
Joe Sherbley, co-host Joe with you all this weekend. And just heard a clip that I talked about in the opening segment, didn't have time for. First was from February 2024. I got to delete that because it's from MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes, but Chris Hayes actually didn't say anything in it. It was Senator Chris Murphy in response to talking about the border attempt at border security at the time, which consisted of declaring 2 million people crossing every year as being a secure border. And he's saying that the border reform Democrats failed to deliver for the people they care about the most, illegal immigrants. And that was followed by a clip of from Fox News's Tucker Carlson on August of 2018, where Tucker was, first he had played a clip of Democrats blasting the Trump administration for separating illegal immigrant families. But then, as Tucker noted, Democrats, when it came to Americans separated permanently from their families by illegal immigrants, Democrats, like Elizabeth Warren, just came out and said, well, we have important issues to focus on. That's not an important issue. We have more important things like immigration reform to help out the people that we actually care about. And then the next clip was from a PragerU interview with former California Assemblyman and current top federal prosecutor Bill Saley, where he's saying that the California state legislature, they're just locked in on using taxpayer money to provide illegal aliens with everything from lawyers to government services to government help making down payments on their homes. And finally, perhaps an explanation universal to all this, all these Democrats. Democrat governor candidate in California, Katie Porter, she's out there. It was during a debate. She said that the governor of California would use, just in general, any governor of California must use all of the state's taxpayer money to protect illegal immigrants who, she insisted, are paying taxes, like as if they actually are, and are the only way, are the only way California has been growing after all these years of Democrat rule. The only people who want to be there are illegal immigrants who come for the free stuff. And we've seen that in other countries where the moment that they turn off the spigot of free benefits, immigration just stops. No one wants to come there. If California turned off the spigot, no more illegal immigrants. So Porter, you know, you got to ask yourself here, how much of this growth that you talk about is actually coming from illegal immigrants and not just from taxpayer money being redistributed to illegal immigrants and then taxed again, in which case you're actually losing money because you don't profit. You don't make a profit by giving away money and only taking back some of it, right? But Democrats never really claim to be good businessmen. Well, some of them do. Like most of the billionaires favored Democrats over Trump, probably because most of the billionaires knew that secretly Democrats were the ones aiding them with fraud. If you have any hatred for billionaires and think that they obtain their money illegitimately, you got to remember Democrats, they tend to be the billionaires tend to be Democrats, I should say, got backwards there. But yeah. That's Democrats there talking about their favorite constituents, and really, really need to revisit that clip again because the description is absolutely terrible, and I got to work on the grammar for that. So, yeah, that's where the Democrat Party stands. Meanwhile, what do they think of American citizens? Well, you have, speaking of California, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, came out lately saying that any money dispersed by the DOJ weaponization fund to California residents will be taxed 100%, taken back by the state. And his reasoning was, if you assault a police officer, you shouldn't be getting money. As if everyone at January 6th assaulted a police officer, as if everyone who's getting a payout from the weaponization fund assaulted a police officer. That stuff was very rarely happened. Probably, I would be surprised if it's a statistically insignificant possibility that a Californian was involved in that. Yet there's Newsom saying he's going to claw back all that money. Doesn't matter if you were just standing there by the Capitol and arrested. He's going to take that money from you and put it to good use, like illegal immigrant health care or down payments for illegal immigrants to get a home. You've been persecuted by the government. Doesn't matter. It was the Democrat Party who persecuted you, so that's okay. And he's not the only one doing that either. It's happening in other states as well. He's just the one who most recently voiced it. But, and New York State is one of these other states, but the irony is these are the same Democrats who gave out millions of dollars to people who actually did assault police officers, BLM rioters back in 2020. You know, people who rioted, looted, attacked police officers, burned cars, burned police cars. Those people got millions of dollars in New York State for being imprisoned for their crimes. And Democrats have no problem with that. Crime is okay. It's okay to assault police officers, but only if you do it when Democrats say that you can do it. That's the big key. It's like a game of Simon Says with them. We call it anarcho-tyranny, but it's more like Simon Says, where you only get to do a crime if Simon says. You only get to do a crime if Democrats say. And that's like I said, that's anarcho-tyranny right there. And here they are again trying to profit from it. Now, The courts have actually weighed in on matters like this before. We're basically going to court precedent. Even though there's nothing really in the Constitution about it, court precedent has established that you can't do this. But that's not going to stop California. That's probably not going to stop their judges over there from okaying it. This probably will make its way to the Supreme Court. But here's what I say should happen. The Trump administration should levy a tax on Californians. Guess what? In your state income tax, whatever money that you get back from it, it now belongs to the federal government. And you got to pay that the next tax cycle. Okay, the Democrats want to do this. We'll do it. Now, see, they're targeting the January 6th folks. So if that's legitimate, a political targeting like that, weaponization of tax revenue collection, if that's perfectly legitimate, according to the courts, then logically it should be legitimate as well if the Trump administration only taxes registered Democrats. Wouldn't it? Of course, as usual, I don't see Republicans having the guts to do what the Democrats do. I mean, gee whiz, it took them decades in California, Republicans, to even try ballot harvesting the way Democrats do. And wouldn't you know it, the moment Republicans in California tried ballot harvesting the way Democrats had been doing it for decades, suddenly the Democrat DOJ in California had a problem with it. Oh, suddenly, obeying this law is actually illegal. Wow. But only when Republicans did it, not when the Democrats had been doing it for many, many years. And that's how it works in a Democrat country, anarcho-tyranny. They let the criminals do whatever the hell they want to, but boy, if you're a law-abiding citizen, you are a law-abiding citizen. Every law is enforced against you. And especially if you're a political enemy. The laws only exist as a means to an end. In an anarcho-tyranny society, the kind of society Democrats want, you only enforce the laws for the goal of oppressing your political opponents and oppressing certain swaths of the citizenry in exchange for favorable treatment of other sections of the citizenry. You know, that's probably why you're seeing all these, you know, Seattle's alleging that there's all this big trans refugee movement. Tens of thousands of people are coming there. Of course, it's a figure from an NGO that's just asking the city for money. So you know that the figure is wrong. It's overinflated. And the NGO just wants that money because they need a new mansion. But if any are migrating to Seattle, there probably are some, not 10,000. It's for all the free stuff that they're providing, but it's also because this is this mentality that's been instilled in the party where you're a threat if you don't you're a threat to a person if you don't abide by their rigid worldview. And that's where this anarcho-tyranny comes into play, because it's kind of a similar concept there. The only real threat that exists is the one that we got to use the law against. Otherwise, you get to do whatever the hell you want to, no matter what. You get free stuff if you're trans. You get free stuff if you're an illegal immigrant. You get to, the law is much softer on you. And, you know, they'll use the pretense of, well, you're a victim or you're being threatened or somehow or other, when really you're not. But they say it. All you have to do is say, I don't feel safe as one of these groups. And suddenly the law comes in heavily on you. And it's heading towards where it is in the UK already, where I forgot the guy's name. His first name was an H, but his last name is Nowak, N-O-W-A-K. He got stabbed to death by a Sikh man, you know, Sikh being an Indian religion, right? And the police let him bleed out because the Sikh man said, well, actually, he was a racist. So the police just handcuffed him and let him bleed out in the street. And that's where Democrats are going with this. More Silk or Joe Show after this break.
National Infant Immunization Week is April 20th through the 27th, serving as an important reminder for families to review their child's vaccination records and have proactive discussions with their pediatricians. Practicing pediatrician and GSK spokesperson, Dr. Michael Malofsky.
Children are exposed to thousands of germs every day through the food they eat, the air they breathe, and the surfaces they touch. Vaccination can help strengthen their defenses against serious or even life-threatening vaccine-preventable diseases their immune systems may not be able to fight on their own.
Routine childhood vaccinations will have prevented approximately 508 million cases of illness and over a million deaths among children born during 1994 to 2023.
I love having thoughtful, compassionate conversations with families about vaccines. As pediatricians, our role is to understand each child's individual health needs and help parents feel confident in their vaccination decisions. Parents, if you have questions about vaccinations, ask your pediatrician. Start the conversation.
Did you know that anyone born before 1976 is at increased risk for shingles? Dr. Leonard Friedland, Vice President and Director of Scientific Affairs and Public Health at GSK Vaccines, has more.
Shingles is a painful, blistering rash, and the risk of developing shingles sharply increases starting at 50. This is because the immune system naturally weakens with age. Even if you feel young and healthy, if you're 50 years or older, you're at increased risk for shingles.
In fact, 99% of adults 50 years and older already have the virus that causes shingles inside their body. One in three people will develop shingles in their lifetime.
While age is one of the most important risk factors for shingles, certain health conditions like diabetes, chronic kidney disease, and heart diseases have been associated with an increased risk of shingles. If you're 50 years or older, ask your doctor or pharmacist about your increased risk for certain vaccine-preventable diseases, including shingles.
Visit easyvax.com to find a pharmacy appointment near you. That's EASYVAX.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Soka Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all this week, and thank you for sticking with us through this hour. Of course, this final segment is going to be like topic whiplash, because we are diverting right up into the atmosphere. We're joined now by Indy Peterson. He is a researcher, designer, and author of the book Sacrificing Humanity. I believe there's several volumes to it, but Indy Peterson, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today? Indy Peterson, do we have you? I just heard a couple of beeping noises. Okay. So, you know, we're talking now about UFOs or UAPs, I guess is what they're being called now, unidentified aerial phenomenon, as opposed to unidentified flying objects. I don't know why they did the terminology change, I guess, to avoid the stigma that's associated with the term UFO. But there's been an issue that's been underreported about this. In my estimation, is a lot of these sightings that have to do with the military. I mean, the military's talking about, oh, we've got all this footage. We shot down UFOs. We got, Fox News' Jesse Waters Primetime was talking about how allegedly four different types of alien bodies have been found. But, like, we're really, you know, I think playing with fire here because, there was congressional testimony back in 2022 about it, but I knew about it, of course, years prior, where, like, you know, UFO appeared over a missile base in Montana or something in 1967, and it's the Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, and, like, suddenly 10 warheads were shut off as the UFO was flying overhead, so it's like, yeah, they can do that. I don't even know how we'd be shooting them down in the first place, but, you know, they're also such a threat to the nuclear arsenal here. What's your take?
I identified in my book seven times that the UFOs have almost caused nuclear war. When I interviewed people in Montana, the missileers and the launch control centers in Montana and Wyoming of the Minuteman missiles, I interviewed one guy, there's two others sitting there nodding their head yes, and he talked about how they had almost a nervous breakdown when they thought we were going to nuclear war. It was written off as a computer glitch, but I used to work at Google as a contractor, and computers don't glitch. They do what they're programmed to do, and something had overwritten the launch control sequences. I asked the guy on this question. I had previously identified seven times when we nearly went to nuclear war because of UFOs. And AI has admitted to me that there's been hundreds. There's a really good book on it called UFOs and Nukes, which is 600 pages long, where the guy for his entire life went out and interviewed all these launch control center people, and there's hundreds of incidents in there, of which AI admits that up to 20 almost caused nuclear war. So that's pretty right. So we've been lied to about this by our government for decades now, and it's a clear and present danger to the United States, and yet we've covered it up.
And not only that, but there's been this active campaign to discredit anyone who's witnessed a UFO, and it's possible it's tied to this because, after all, we're at the height of the Cold War, and suddenly people are hearing, well, first of all, Russia isn't going to be the big bad threat here. It's going to be these aliens, and number two, there's nothing we can do about it. Sorry.
Yeah, that is very true.
So now then, do you see with this disclosure more optimism for the government admitting, yes, there are some things that we just absolutely have no control over? Because it seems like, you know, our government's whether it's climate change or, you know, whether it's crime or the economy, they really all try to make claims about things that they really can't control as much as they like to think that we, as much as they'd like us, I should say, to think that they can.
Yeah, I think with the congressional hearings, there's been three of them now. They're much more revealing than these documents that have thus far come out. The CIA has not released their documents yet. That's what I'm, the trove I'm really waiting for. But we've had, with the congressional hearings, a Galileo moment in that, for those who've been paying attention to these hearings, which is a sudden realization that man is not the center of the universe. Because in the congressional hearing, they admitted that UFOs are real. They admitted that Roswell really happened. And they admitted they have alien bodies, biologics, as they called them in the hearing. It was a stellar Olympic-class panel that was in the, specifically the November 13, 24 hearing that I think every American should watch. That should have been the biggest news story in history, because it relates to the origin of the species, our science, our religion, especially physics. Physics is completely overthrown by these objects, what they're capable of doing, as they described in detail in that hearing. And the panel was unbelievable. You had retired rear animal Tim Gaudette, I think is how you pronounce it, PhD, U.S. Navy. He's an oceanographer. He's talking about these USOs, which are coming out of the ocean. And as I tell in my book, Sacrificing Humanity, I tell that I purchased this island down in Patagonia, most part of the world. And the locals told me the island that you're trying to purchase it's a UFO base. And I laughed. I thought that was hilarious, because I did not believe in UFOs, because no one could get a decent picture of one. And but then I was proven wrong, because after owning the property, I had a number of experiences, including one of those orbs come within 2 feet of my face, which I believe is closer than any human being that managed to live to tell about it, because Gary Nolan at Stanford University, a pathologist, he's been representing the families. This is brought up in the congressional hearings. He's been representing these families. That there's 100 of them that go out on these, when the UFOs show up at these nuclear bases and show they have complete control of our command and control of our nuclear missiles, which is pretty frightening. And as I said, you know, AI is 20 times as near as nuclear war.
Uh-oh. Well, Indy Peterson, we've seemed to have lost your transmission here with only about 30 seconds left. Your phone had been ducking in and out during the segment anyway, but now we've kind of lost it entirely. Sorry about that, but I mean, it's perfect timing because we are done with this hour of the Silk or Joe show. But listeners, if you want to look up more of Indy Peterson's work, it's IndyPedersoN, and his book, Sacrificing Humanity. If you're curious about more information on this topic, more contemporary sources on it anyway, you can check that out. But anyway, our website for you to check out is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.